Father, I thank you today, Lord, for your anointing. And I thank you, God, that you are still on the throne. So, Father, we decree today, Lord, that your peace rules and reigns right now in every aspect of my life and being. And the lives and beings of those that are under the sound of my voice today. Father, we declare your peace to rule and reign right now in our mind. No outside thoughts, no outside voices, no distractions. But Father, that the peace of God would so rule and so reign right now in our mind, our will, and our emotions, that we are easily able to detect and discern the voice of the Lord. God, we want to hear from you today. We want to be overwhelmed by you today. We want to be impacted and changed, molded and made, Lord, into the image that you've called us to be in. And God, we give you all the credit and praise for it today in advance, before we see it. In Jesus' name. And all those in agreement said. I do not like to stop music abruptly, but because it just dives like that, but we're going to do it anyway. So this morning I really wanted to do this message yesterday, and I just felt compelled that we needed to deal with changing our mind. And so I went ahead and inserted that one yesterday, and today I'm still chomping at the bit to get to one that I've had a couple of titles for. One is preparing for an encounter with the Lord, and another one yet this morning is too far or not far enough. And I think for today, that second title definitely fits the motif for where I believe that we're going this morning. As I sat down just to go over the notes, man, I'm telling you, I just opened up to the Lord, and I got another two pages in there. And I don't want to fill you with tons of information. I really want application. But sometimes you got to have information in order to assess and have an application. So I want to give you enough to do that with anyway. So let me just start off with some thoughts, and then I want to jump into I have a minute and a half video today. I don't always do videos. I do like to incorporate them where I can, but it just absolutely fits for where we're going. I'm finding myself in a journey of sorts where I'm done trying to stir people up to follow the Lord. Now, that sounds counterproductive, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. I've talked to worship leaders who have been so skilled in their craft and their art that they can manipulate crowds emotionally. And we can get somewhere emotionally that we're not yet spiritually. And if you're using that as a kickstart, praise God, kickstart. Fake it till you make it. I'm okay with that. But when it is the norm, we get so accustomed to that that we begin to feed on the emotional state of it and forget the spiritual state of it. And so that happens even in the preaching and teaching. So much so that people will decide whether or not they want to go hear somebody by whether or not they like that person's personality or the way they speak, or they spit too much, they talk too loud, they're too soft, I can't hear them. And it winds up being every reason or excuse under the sun except for what we should be going for. Am I fed? Am I encouraged? Did I sense the power and the presence of God there? I mean, what's the real keys that you're looking for? And so we have people today picking churches like they pick buffets and where they're going to eat. Yes. Instead of realizing that God is planting you in a place for a reason. Amen. And when we find that we're planted, even if we don't like the environment, maybe God's called you to be a change agent in that environment to bring some change there. Nobody wants to believe that. What we want to believe is the change is there to change me. I need the change. I need the motivation. I need the ministry. I need the blessing. I need all this stuff. So I'm going to go somewhere that can provide that for me. We always want what we can get. We've got entitlement now happening in the church. What can you give me? You don't have a big enough children's ministry. You don't have, you know, you're whatever. Pick something. The parking lot's not striped. I mean, anything. It's too hot. It's too cold. You don't provide earplugs for me when I come in because my ears are sensitive. I mean, it's all this stuff. We come up with any excuse in the world not to do what we're compelled to do in our spirit because we are so accustomed to fulfilling and doing what the flesh wants that we have learned to be successful at ignoring the spirit. Isn't it amazing that if we can ignore the spirit of God living on the inside of us, you would think that we would also have the skill set to ignore the mind who's lying against the spirit of God living on the inside of us. You have the ability to ignore what you want to ignore and listen to who or what you want to listen to. You have that ability. We're just not exercising it. So when I'm speaking to people anymore, I'm having to learn how to speak to their spirit instead of their filter. I remember when Pastor Jim was on a vacation 10 years ago, and some men of God would come in and say to him in a comatose state, "Rise up, man of God." And I watched his body from the chest begin to come up out of the bed and then flop and then come up out of the bed. He's sedated. Anybody see that other than me? I really should have videoed a lot of that stuff. Okay. The spirit on the inside of him was responding to the word of God, even though his flesh was incapable of understanding what was being said. And we go, wow, wasn't that cool? Wow, Pastor Jim's this mighty man of God, and I'm not denying that, but I'm saying we get so caught up in the phenomenon, we miss what just happened. That was an experiment you don't always get to see, in that we just proved that the spirit of a man is awake and alive and alert, even when the fleshly man is not. So we got to begin to speak to the spirit of a person and put a demand on that. You know, we got a lot of people that come to meetings such as this, and they want to put a demand on the man instead of the demand on the anointing of God in and on the man. If you put a demand on me, you're going to leave sorely disappointed. I'm going to disappoint you, I promise you. But if you put a demand on the anointing of God in my life, you'll never leave disappointed. There's a significant difference. How many's ever dealt with a schoolyard bully? How many's been bullied? Who was the bullied? Got a couple honest people. Okay. My dad used to tell me as a kid, he said, you know, said bullies have a reputation, and they got the reputation on purpose. But every once in a while, they have to re-engage and have another fight in order to maintain that reputation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got your milk money taken enough times, you had a set expectation for what was going to happen. I'm going to tell you, it's okay for your spirit to begin to bully your flesh. You got to let that happen because it's already been happening. For the most part in the body of Christ, your flesh has been bullying your spirit. You don't need to go. You don't need to be there. Oh, look at the dog. Look who's speaking. Please. You know more than they do. Leave that alone. It's too wet. It's too cold. It's too slick. Tornadoes might be coming, right? And so we have got to be okay with the fact that we need to bully our flesh. Jenny Craig has marketed bullying the flesh. And you pay money to have them teach you how to bully your flesh. But when it comes to spiritual things, we try to dumb that down. Anytime the word of God is given, we're trying to filter it here. It's got to stop. We've got to speak to the spirit of a person. The Bible says where two or three agree as touching anything in his name, we'll have it. When we're agreeing, we cannot just agree that we're going to move that piano from one side to the other. That's a physical agreement. We have to be in spiritual agreement. Putting a demand on the anointing and the word of God to see that come supernaturally from the spirit realm and manifest itself in the natural realm. That doesn't happen by agreeing here. So, this short video is a crusade. I don't know who is speaking. I don't know that I care. But a man in the midst of the crusade died. And they found him on the ground, checked him, pulse is gone, he's dead. And these people begin to circle him, and this is what happens.
Come back to life right now. In the name of Jesus.
Come on.
the look of bewilderment on his face when he stood up and people are poking their fingers in his eyes is a little funny to me. But the reason I wanted to show that is this. I want to ask you, whose prayer was it that caused that man's body to come back to life? We would want to say, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so was there, and so we just kind of agreed with them because we have become accustomed to looking for a person, a individual, a focal point. But I'm telling you, there's something powerful that happens when people come together. The ministry is supposed to be a team effort. And unfortunately, we have teams sitting on the benches watching the star players do all the game. And the reason that we're watching the star players is because they're the only ones that have actually stepped out to do anything. I mean, if you got out and just made a shot, you'd be a star player because you've done exceedingly more than anybody else on the bench. This is Jess. So how much of the shouting, the pushing, the yanking of the arm, how much of the guy screaming, life, 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 what was it that was necessary, and what was it of that whole scenario that you saw that was unnecessary? Everyone there that was praying was a participant, and they were encouraged to participate in this team effort to agree with God and to tell death what to do. Come on. So that when the man came back to life, everybody who had a piece of that, whether it was small or great, everybody who was a part of that team was encouraged that, wow, God heard my prayer. God heard me. I spoke to death, and death had to go. Team effort is important. I remember some years ago when I was a kid, my grandparents, they lived in an old rickety house, and we heard some nonsense going out in the yard from the dogs, and the dogs had cornered a possum. And I don't like possums. And so this one was hissing at them, you know, and the dogs are barking, and he's hissing and biting. And so Grandpa just walks in there, grabs it by the tail, reaches over and grabs a stick, taps it on the head because it's reached up to bite him, then just cracks it over the head, kills it, throws it out in the yard, and then these little dogs run out there like they're just all big and bad. Boy, they get a hold of that thing, they're just yanking it around, just throwing it all over the place. And I said, now, why in the world would you do that? Why would you just feed the corpse to the dogs like that? He said, because I want the dogs to believe that they can do it again. So when we minister in team efforts, it's important that everybody walk away with the sense, I can do all things through Christ. We have to have not only that knowledge, we need an experience. You know what irritates me? I look at churches today, and if I'm not careful, I get extra critical because I get angry. I get angry because I don't see the power of God moving in churches today. I don't. People have gotten so accustomed to coming in and putting sprinklers with milk on it and just shooting it out, and everybody just seems, oh, wasn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. I got goosebumps. The presence of God was in the place. I thank God for the days that I had the carpet sucking anointing. I thank God for the carpet burns I found on my face. I thank God for the times that he put me just down because he had to do something in my life. Because I'm telling you, sometimes those moments seal in your spirit a move and a work of God. We have too many people that have observed other people having an encounter with God, and they don't know what it is to be touched by him, to experience him, to know him. They all have this mental capacity of him. I've been praying for people that everybody that knows the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would begin to have a Damascus Road experience. Everybody needs to be knocked off their donkey and have to get up and say, who are you, Lord? We all need that. And if we haven't had that, then we're walking around with some fable in our head, and we're walking around following other people who are having an encounter and an experience with God. I can't live off Pastor Jim's encounters. I can't live off Larry's encounters. I can't live off anybody else's encounters. I got to have my own. Thank God you're having yours, but I'm getting mine. And that doesn't happen by accident. I have to shut my mind off. I have to stop being critical of the fact that he wore jeans last night and that he took his jacket off in the meeting. Well, not in the meeting, in the dining hall. I got to get past all that. I really don't have a problem with that. I'm just being facetious. But you hear what I'm saying? We got to get past personalities and styles. We know that, but we don't really live that. And that's caused a problem. I watched, anybody ever watched the movie Incredibles? I'm a kid at heart. I love the Disney flicks. And so there's this point where Mr. Incredible comes home and he's angry And he slams the door in his car, and he's already damaged the car, so the door doesn't slam. So he gets mad, and he picks up the car, and he holds it up. And there's a little boy in a trike seeing him, and he goes, and he puts the car down real gently and just acts like nothing happened and walked away. And so another point in the film comes back, and the kid's back outside, and he's like, what do you want? He said, I don't know. I'm just waiting for something incredible, I guess. That's a picture of the body of Christ today. I'll believe if I can see, if you can show me. Thank God for signs, wonders, and miracles, but I want to be a sign. I want to be a wonder. I want to be a miracle. There's a difference in talking about them. There's a difference in experiencing them. Things don't happen often enough in the miraculous because men and women of God have not emptied themselves. It's not that God can't use them in the state that they're at. It's that God will not jockey for position and who gets credit. A couple of things happen. Sometimes there's too much desire for credit, or sometimes there's a fear that it just won't work. And I've been trying to really push this idea or this teaching that fear really is faith. Fear truly is faith. If you are fearful that God's not going to touch you today or tonight, then you're agreeing with the enemy that God can't. Amen. So everything that you say and everything that you do is faith. And I point back to Job chapter 2. When the Bible says, and everything, or Job actually said this, what I have feared greatly has come upon me. So what you fear comes to pass, and what you trust God for comes to pass. So what happens when you're fearful and trying to trust at the same time? There's the body of Christ. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. The Bible says a double-minded person is unstable in everything that they do. So we talked yesterday about really being open in the spirit. I want to get practical. I hope you don't feel in any way that I'm dumbing this down. I'm explaining it to you in a way that I wish it had been explained to me many years ago, okay? I tell people all the time, you got to get out of this and you got to start listening with this. Well, you and I both know this don't have ears. So that almost sounds like an oxymoron. And so when I say we have to listen with our belly, all of a sudden we start concentrating, okay, concentrate on the belly. Listen, any part of your body that you think about, you'll start sensing and feeling in that part of the body a lot more than the other, because that's where your focus is at. I'm not asking you to focus in the physical part of your body. I'm just telling you that for whatever reason, whole nother teaching, your spirit dwells in this area. Throne room. And so I'm saying we've got to learn to focus in this geography, but not in this realm. So I remember Dad as a kid teaching me how to wiggle my ears, and it took me a long time to learn that. In fact, I learned it by accident because I could not force my ears to move. One day I yawned, and I felt my ears move, and I went, wait a minute. So I got in front of a mirror, and I started trying to make myself yawn on purpose until I saw my ears move. Some people are going to find a move of God by accident. And when you find a move of God by accident, you learn, hey, that worked, so I'm going to do it again. And now it's no longer an accident. Now it's on purpose. It's okay to find an accidental move of God. Maybe accidental to you was not accidental to him. Nod at me if I'm making sense to you. So in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that Jesus was baptized and the heavens were torn or ripped apart. We also understand that when he died, the veil was torn apart. We also understand that at the same time the veil was being ripped, that we also understand that the rocks that surrounded Jerusalem were also split. We need to understand that the anointing is a spiritual thing, and it's a wonderful thing for the spirit, but it also affects physical things. We've been talking about how the anointing can be in and on clothes, and we're going to get there a little bit too, just momentarily. But I want you to understand that Jesus was setting an example. Yes, even when he was baptized, the heavens parted, and what came down? The Holy Spirit as a what? As a dove. And I'm telling you, there's a difference in having the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you and having him come upon you. Both are needful. In the Old Testament, all they had was the Holy Spirit to come upon them. When Samson had his eyes gouged out and he was in the Colosseum, he prayed, "Oh God, come upon me just one more time." And the Bible says the Holy Spirit did come upon him and gave him that supernatural strength. That's an example of the Holy Spirit coming upon somebody. But today in the New Testament, we have the ability for the Holy Spirit to come up on the inside of us. So we have both. Both of them are necessary. Thank God for the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. That's for me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit coming upon me. That's for you. I don't want to talk too fast. I don't want to just throw out one-liners. I want you to grasp what I'm saying. We need the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us that gives us comfort and peace and empowerment and the ability to believe things that are supernatural. We need that on the inside of us. But we also need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come upon us for other people. That's why there's times, sometimes you just have to wait on God in a meeting or an assembly, because timing is everything. You ever tried to worship with somebody that couldn't keep a beat? It's difficult. Not impossible, but not fun. And that happens also in a move of God. If you get ahead of him or behind him, it doesn't work. That's why you look for what God is saying and what God is doing. When the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus, I want you to think for just a moment, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, let's say he's in the form of a bird. So he's on your shoulder. How are you going to walk? How are you going to talk? Let me help you. You're going to walk in such a way as to not cause him to leave. You're going to talk in such a way as to not disturb him so that he leaves. Entertaining his presence. So when we come together, we ought to be seeing crazy things happen in us, through us, for us, by us, because of us, on purpose, and on accident. And unfortunately, we've set our expectations on there's going to be music, there's going to be giving, there's going to be a word, there might be some people falling down, there might not, and then we're done. And because our expectation is set there, our faith has either risen or fallen to that same level. And then we get critical of God. God, why are things not changing in my life? Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27, there's the story of Jesus being on the boat. It was because the peace of God was on the inside of him that he was able to release the peace that he had to the storm. The answer for what you're dealing with is already on the inside of you. Tommy Barnett years ago, I don't remember the exact title of the book, but basically it said it's in your house. Whatever it is that you have need of for God to accomplish in your life, God's already given you access to it. It's already in your house. And I'm telling you, whatever you have need of, it's already on the inside of you. We just don't talk about that a whole lot. We've got to bring what's on the inside out. We've spent Christendom talking about how to get Jesus to live on the inside of us and not a whole lot about how to let him out. We have to give him access to other people. He's waiting on us to send him. Yes, the Holy Spirit sends us, but we have the ability to release. And we have the ability to withhold. I want you to listen to this statement. If I'm constantly praying for what I already have, I can't get joy from answered prayer because I can't recognize the answers. If I'm constantly praying for what I already have, I cannot receive joy from answered prayer because I can't recognize the answers. So listen to this. So I have to get my joy from the discipline of prayer, and the joy that comes from the discipline of prayer exalts the form over the power. Having a form of godliness, but we pray, but we worship, but we call upon the name of Jesus, and we lay hands, and we feel goosebumps, and we feel sensations in our body. Isn't it wonderful? But we, if we're not careful, we exalt the discipline over the power. Watch this. We exalt ritual over the encounter. Well, this is the way it's supposed to happen. I'm having to learn today that there's so many things that happen in a way I was taught. It doesn't happen, can't happen, won't happen. Come on. If we're not growing, we're dying. If we're not learning, we might as well just lay down 6 foot under. It's over. What is it that we know today? What is it that God's teaching us today? What is it that we're doing differently today that we didn't do last week? If we're still doing the same thing we were doing 30 years ago, where's our walk? Where's our relationship? I don't do the same things today with my wife that we did when we were dating. Things change. People change. Appetites change. Where we want to eat changes. Where we want to go changes. Why do we think that it's got to happen the way it always did? That's a great model. That's a great starting point. That should never confine you. Too many people, because of where they came from, allow that system to confine them instead of launch them.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Jesus constantly manifested the Father through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask this question. How conscious are you of the anointing of God on your life to the point that when you're praying for somebody, you sense that you have released the anointing to somebody? See, there's a lot of emphasis on the woman with the issue of blood, and she had great faith, and she reached out, she touched the hem of his garment, and he said, "Hey, who touched me?" And we figured out that, you know, people were thronging Jesus. This was not, you know, like we have it, where everybody's decent in order, and they got this nice line, and they got people catching, and they got, "Hey, you're crowding the man of God, back up a little bit," you know. They didn't have that. People were just unrestrained, and it's like, "Hey, I got to get to him." And so everybody's laying hands on Jesus, and all of a sudden this woman sneaks down at the bottom and just grabs the cloak or the tallit, whatever you want to believe. It was the garment. And so by faith, she said, "If I can but touch, I will." There was no teaching that if you go touch somebody's garment at that point, you get healed. That was not in their hymnals that they sang about. That was not a formal teaching that they had. They didn't go to seminary and say, "Listen, if you need healing and you don't want to talk to the man of God, just go touch his clothes." She went off the reservation. She did what nobody else to that point that we have record of was doing. I got to pause there. This is not just a cool point in a message. What are we doing that's outside the box? What are we doing that's stretching the envelope? We don't even know if God's going to respond. I don't know if it's going to work. I'm going to try it. How many of you like to cook? Listen, thank God for whoever decided to heat milk to 180 degrees and dump some chocolate on the inside of it. Hallelujah. Who comes up with that? I wonder who made the first chocolate cake or vanilla cake or strawberry cake. I mean, when are you going to start something fluffy and nice and light in your mouth with flour? Because of people's experimentation, we have things now that are staples of life. What happened to the experimentation in the things of God? Oh, well, that's just not godly. That's just not right. That's just, really? Really? Your relationship should be so solid with God. You should be so confident in his love for you that you know he's not going to slap you down for you testing God to see, "Hey, do you like this? Do you not like this? Can you use this? Can you not use this? Will you use this? Will you not use this?"
Amen.
That's why we got people still got lead butt and won't get up. Because they're still not convinced that God will use them, and they've never tested it.
Amen.
God, do you really want to use me? Would you really do that? Is my season over? Did I miss the boat? The anointing's the anointing. Whether you're one or 101, it's still the same anointing. But we can use it in different ways. Listen, I've seen people misuse stuff all the time and it worked. I've needed a hammer before and didn't have one, and I used a pair of pliers. Come on, people. May not have been its intended purpose, but it was effective nonetheless. What is it that we have experimented in with God, pushed the boundaries of what we've been taught just to see if something might happen? Live and learn. Live and learn. Listen, I had to get over the fear of pain and blood to ride a bicycle. I did. And we think that's so simple. Come on. Of course you did. But you could have worn knee pads. Listen, I don't care how many pads you wear. You're still going to get skint. It's going to happen. My daughter, the first time she fell on her bike, somebody had big trash day, and they put all their branches and limbs out by the curb. Do you know there was a gravitational pull that dragged her bike right into that mess? We're so terrified of missing God that we don't understand that sometimes missing God is a teachable moment by God anyway. Amen. I'm still learning about God. I'm still learning how to flow and function with Him. My brother-in-law and I have been working together for years, and we've got to a point on doing cabling jobs or IT jobs or whatnot. We've learned how each other thinks and flows, and so we can kind of get ahead of one another and prepare. I know he's fixing to need that tool. I'll set it up there or over here. He realizes I'm going to need it in a second, puts it back over here. We just keep going. We did that years ago when we were working on brakes, car brakes. We'd be on opposite sides of the car, just sliding the wrenches underneath back and forth because we knew what was going to happen. We knew what each other needed. And that's wonderful when you can do that with the Lord. It really is. But there's sometimes that we've done things on accident and thought, hey, that worked out better than the way we were doing it before. Let's switch. There's no switching happening in the church. If I'm going to get my healing, it's got to happen because the moment was right and the anointing was thick and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face and the right man of God at the right time was standing there with the microphone and it was decreed on tape so that we can go back and review it and blah, 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 blah. Sometimes God might want to have some little old lady in the middle of Walmart just walk up and say, Sonny, I just need to pray for you. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I'm saying the house of the Lord, we need to start pushing the envelope and stretching ourselves. We keep waiting on somebody to initiate us and launch us. Let me give you an idea what launching is. I was speaking to somebody the other day and said they wanted to go, it was actually Cameron. His daughter wanted to go on her bucket list to go skydiving. She goes, I can't find anybody to go with me. I said, I'll go. Really? Really, you go? Yeah, it's kind of been on my bucket list too. Let's do it. Okay. See, sometimes we say we so want a move of God until the move of God's there. And so I said, sounds like we might need a little motivation. And Cameron said, there's no way in the world that I'm jumping out of a plane. It's difficult for me to get on a 6-foot ladder, much less, 30,000 feet above the ground. And I said, well, every once in a while, we need somebody who's anointed to give us a little shove right out of the plane. We've gotten so accustomed to things being done for us that we still expect a man or woman of God to come and say, it's your time and force us out. Instead of saying, I want that so bad. If I die, I'm with him. If I don't, I've learned something cool. I'm going for it. What are we scared of? Can I be honest? It's not just the fear of failure. We've made too much of the fear of failure. It's not just the fear of failure. There's some of you have a complex of fear of success. You say, well, that doesn't even make any sense. Let me help you with that. We have trained ourselves to become so accustomed to the time frame that it takes between miracles that we have acquiesced to the fact that it's something that's only going to happen every 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And praise Jesus if I get to see 3 or 4 of them in my lifetime. Right? Because if we started seeing signs, wonders, and miracles on a regular basis, when I say regular basis, I'm talking about every time we come together. If we started seeing that, it's like, where would we go after that? What's next? Now there's pressure on us that this has got to happen all the time. Signs, wonders, and miracles don't happen because there's pressure in the first place. If we'd ever learned that, God's not waiting on us to get the combination right. God's waiting on us to be who we're called to be at peace with who I am in Him, and to realize that wherever I am, He is also. Whenever I speak anything according to the will, plan, and purpose of God, He's there to perform it. There's no performance anxiety in my life because I can't perform it anyway. I've never been able to do that. But if I let people convince me, oh, wow, you're just this wonderful dude, and boy, your speaking ability, and you can sing, and you can write, and you can this, and you can that, all of a sudden, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Jesus left the building physically. Come on. He's not going to jockey for position in your life. So I've just realized it doesn't matter how good I'm doing or how bad I'm doing. Daddy's always going to love me. Daddy promised He'd never leave me nor forsake me. But He's not going to fight me for number one position in my life. So I've just decided to be the best me that I can be. And the best me that I can be doesn't look anything like you. That sounds so elementary. It really is. The gospel is simple in nature. But we got too many people trying to make it. Well, it's got to be this right combination. It's got to be so perfect all the time. No, listen. Jesus preached on mountainsides, on the sides of hills. No microphone, no Sennheiser, no Bose speakers, no amplifiers, no nothing. Just His voice. Spoke to 5,000, 10,000 at a time. People heard Him. You think kids weren't playing tag? You don't think they were going up, Mommy, I got to go to the bathroom. You don't think that stuff was happening while Jesus was ministering there? And we got to have it so perfect, because if somebody was to drop a glass of water or a bottle of water and it spilled, well, that would just interrupt everything. Listen, I've had to get past some real, listen, we've had some great moves of God in diners. When the wait staff is not spirit-filled, and man, the presence of God is filling the place. They walk up. Would you like some more coffee, sir? How about some more? Did you need some more water over there too? Did you get a straw? I've had to just learn just to turn that off. Sometimes I just got a little indignant, and I've just stepped between them. Put my hand on them. Keep teaching. Roll with it. It doesn't have to be some perfect setup every time. The perfect setup was God got you there at the right time, and His anointing is on your life to release it. So just do it. Yes. The woman with the issue, she didn't have the teaching, but she stepped outside the boundaries of what she knew and said in her heart, if I can but touch, I know. I believe that God is leaving some of the best things for children. He said, come to me with childlike faith. Why children? Could it be that everything for a child is an adventure and everything with a child is a game? You can make a game out of tearing up boxes. You can make a game out of cleaning the carpet and taking out the trash, and you make a game out of cleaning the room, and it's all fun. We get into adulthood and realize, oh, they were manipulating me. Listen, if it worked as a child, it'll work as an adult. Make it a game. How many people am I gonna speak to today? How many people am I gonna pray for? How many people am I gonna prophesy over? Sometimes you need to put a demand on the anointing of God in your life. You know, sometimes I find myself sitting at a restaurant or a coffee shop, and I'll look across the room and say, Lord, we haven't done much together here lately. What do you want to say to that one over there in the red? What do you want to say to that one over there in the black? Give me something, Lord. I didn't wait till I was just overwhelmed and this gravitational pull pulled me over there. You got to say something to them. God wants you to be involved in this team effort called ministry. Yes. He wants you to want to do something for other people. So I've heard so many people, well, I ran from the call. It took me a long time to submit to that. Why? Does it sound cool from a pulpit to say I ran from the call? Why does God have to force us to do the thing that's going to bring the greatest fulfillment in our life in the first place? Amen. All He's trying to do is cause us to have joy. Answered prayer causes joy to come up on the inside of us. So after the woman with the issue of blood, we move to Acts 19, verse 12. It says, so from his body were brought the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. In the presence of God, we found out it can saturate cloth so that somebody can send healing to somebody else through a physical piece of cloth. Paul at Ephesus moved from miracles to extraordinary miracles. They took aprons and cloth from his body. What they learned from the woman with an issue of blood. Her stepping off the reservation caused her experience to become a principle that the rest of the body of Christ has lived by. I said that too fast. This woman stepping off the reservation to do something that wasn't taught, to experiment with the things of God, to set her faith on something that she was never taught could or could not happen. She reached out and did something that was bizarre to everybody else that was around her. And because it worked, people said, hey, if it'll work for her, then maybe it'll work with this. Come here, Paul, let me grab that apron. Let's go throw it over here and see what happens. Oh, that works too. What have we learned in the last 2,000 years? Why have we lost the experimentation? Why have we lost the sense of adventure? Why have we lost our desire so much for God that it doesn't matter if it works or it doesn't work? Because either way, I learn. Amen. What are we so scared of? I've prayed for people that at that moment didn't exemplify any healing or any life change. Then I get a phone call 24, 48, 72 hours later. It's gone. This is amazing. Mentality would say, oh, I prayed, it didn't work. Because the mind is enmity towards God. If I simply release what the Lord tells me to release, what he does on his timetable is none of my business. I just let it go. There's no more, we can't afford to have performance anxiety. You guys saw the little lady that was made famous when her apartment caught fire? Ain't nobody got time for that? Ain't nobody got time for that. It's not about you. God wants to use you, but in spite of the things that you've done, in spite of all the things you think, God can't use you anyway. Mark 6, 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And many as touched him were made whole. Where'd they learn that from? The one with the issue of blood. We are called to be pioneers. Pioneers, not duplicating what somebody else has done as the general rule. Pioneers. We got churches forming because another church did it that way, and a ministry forming because another ministry did it that way. Somebody else had paved the way. I just want to learn from their mistakes. That's fine, but that should not negate your ability to make your own mistakes and learn some own lessons that other people can follow you. This whole thing, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ is not following, putting everybody in the same exact track. In fact, the very ones that you want to go here and will buy tickets for and plane tickets for and go all over the country in order to see and to be in those experiences are people that went off the reservation and are saying things that nobody else is saying and doing things that nobody else is doing. And then we placate ourselves that I'm just going to fall in line and do what everybody else is doing. We have ceased being adventurous and we've become conformists. Lord, help me. John 15, 15. Jesus speaking says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known to you. I've told you everything. See, servants are task-oriented. You give them a job description, let them go, they can get the task done. That's what a servant does. But friends live to please the heart of the other person. You give gifts to friends because you want to please them. You spend time with them because you want to please them. You do whatever you do from a heart of love because you want to see them enjoy. The church has gotten proficient at doing actions. We're doing tasks. And we forgot the heart to please the Father. We're doing the work of the ministry, but the ministry is not in the work. The gifts only work when they're motivated by love. Amen. Tasks only bless when they're motivated by a heart to please another. You know the story, John 21. Jesus speaking again, he told Simon the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said this to him a third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you." So Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So Jesus told Peter, if we know that the Lord knew that Peter loved him, but he still phrased it, "If you love me, feed my sheep," because love motivates acts of obedience, because it has to do with the heart condition. I'm going to wrap this up here today. Heart condition. When the heart condition is, "Lord, I'll be made a fool of to honor you," then our heart is pure before him. But when the motivation is, "God, don't let me look like an idiot. God, do something phenomenal here so that people really know that you're with me and that you've anointed me," we're already operating in fear. Ministry has got to happen, and it has to happen exponentially. We have to be duplicating ourselves. We know in Ephesians that God gave gifts to the body. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For what? For the work of the ministry. I ask you, where is the ministry? Is it happening from here, or is it happening from there? Where is the ministry happening? People are going to show up and ask you questions and want to be involved in your life because they see you're having encounters with God. If you're not having encounters with God, then we're just like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry in the world. That's what sets us apart. The anointing is not just for the pulpit. It's not just for teaching. The anointing is for every act that we do. I love the reports when people said, "I sat down next to somebody in the diner, and God gave me a word and reached out and gave it to them, and crazy things happen." Have you ever ministered to somebody at the gas pump? I have. It's a little odd the first time you do it. Walk up to a perfect stranger. You say, "Well, how do you do that?" First of all, you have to know that it's really God compelling you to do it. Otherwise, they might grab the mace. You know what I'm saying? See, you just don't walk up and just real abruptly, "Hey, God gave me a word. I need to talk to you." You're going to freak some people out. Love. Some of my favorite videos to watch when I get a little downtime is videos of abused animals that somebody rescued. There is no animal more faithful and no animal more grateful than one that's been rescued from a bad or abusive situation. I got a friend of mine that loves large dogs, and he had two, and one of them had passed away here recently and broke his heart, just really loves the animals. So that left one alone. And so rather than going to a breeder, he went to a shelter, rescue place, and found one that had been in a recent fight. Part of the ear was gone. They were all bloodied up and whatnot, and the previous owners were very abusive to the dog. And people say, "Man, abuse people? I'm going to tell you what, you got to watch them, because hurt people hurt people." And so, you know, you reach out and try to help them. They bite your arm off, bite your head off. You know, they're going to hurt you. They'll tell lies on you, all this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, we can learn something from animals. And so he went and got this dog. And this abused, beat up, bloody German Shepherd came to live with him and this pit bull. And the German Shepherd's a female, the pit bull's a male, and you would just think Alpha is going to be the pit bull. In about 2 weeks, the female German Shepherd who was abused has become Alpha. And so this friend of mine said, I teach all my dogs this one principle, that in the pack, when I'm there, I'm Alpha. And so what he does, I get some food, I put it in my hand, and I put a glove on, put it in my hand, and I set the food out for the dog to get, and when he goes to take it from my hand, I pull it from its mouth. And I thought, well, that's a little mean. And he said, they understand this. You eat because of me. You eat because of me. I'm Alpha. And said, you'll never find a more faithful dog than one that knows that they can trust you for their sustenance and their protection and love. People are the same way. We're so skittish that we're going to get bit, that we're going to get hurt, that we're going to get lied on, that we avoid problematic individuals instead of realizing that the anointing of God that's on our life is for them. When somebody who has been mistreated, lied on, cheated on, beat up in the church, told they can't, they're less than, worthless, you can't do that here. You've got no anointing of your own. You begin to love on them, motivated by love to share the anointing of God in their life. It brings healing and restoration. All of a sudden, there is a relationship there that can't be broken. I'm going to end on this note, and then I'm going to pick it up from here tomorrow. Sometimes I don't think we understand how good we have it. You want to find somebody who has a resistance to a move of God. It's not the sinner. It's the saint. The reason that they have such a resistance to a move of God is because they have allowed themselves to be inoculated against the move of God. How do you get inoculated against the move of God? By being exposed to a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there until our resistance is so built up that we're no longer affected by that. That's why if you're going to go for God, and you're going to do something significant for him, you have to go all in, all at once. Get over whatever it is that's trying to prevent you from saying a complete hearty yes to the Lord. Just dive in. But I'm going to mess up. You sure are. And people are going to take encouragement from the fact that if they can get out there and flub it up and mess it up and still come back, so can I. We all want to be an example of God's, you know, power and anointing and all that stuff. One of the greatest things that you can do is exemplify that Jesus loves us and is not leaving us just because we mess up or get it wrong, but we're going to experiment with God. We're going to find out what he does like and what he doesn't like. Listen, the words of God here, the lists and stuff that we have in Scripture, they're wonderful. They're meant to give us a glimpse of his character. They're not meant to contain him. They're meant to expose him. This is not all there is to know about God. This is a launching pad. This is to give you a place to start. But get to know him. Talk to him. He'll have you say and do things you may not find word for word in the King James Version. It might blow your mind that God wants to use you to say something or do something or to act a certain way. Do it. Come on. Take a chance. What if I'm wrong? Then you learned. What if God honors it and crazy, wonderful stuff happens? Your experimentation may have just set a new principle for this house and the body of Christ. Experiment with God. Nod at me if that makes sense. We got to stop being inoculated against a move of God. Well, let's just see what you got. You say you're anointed. I've been prayed for by a lot of anointed men. Let's see what you got. We're no longer open. We're inoculated. We now have a resistance against the move of God. I remember when I first started experiencing the move of God, it's like I felt like I got sucker punched. No pain, but it felt like I was hit right in the belly and I couldn't help but just bowl over. I see these people that, you know, flutter and fall down gracefully. When I fall, it's ugly. It's just ugly. Sometimes I knock a person down that's praying for me. I'm not trying to. It's just ugly. Looks like I'm being shocked or electrocuted. It's gross. But something happens. Something happens. We've got to be sensitive to what God wants to do in and through us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. And Father, I pray today, God, that you stretch and challenge us so that we will begin to step outside of those things, God, that we have felt have confined us to a certain methodology. God, I'm praying today, Lord, that you confirm your word today by peace that's supernatural, that overwhelms us to say yes and amen. Father, may your Holy Spirit stand up on the inside of those that are here today and say amen to the word that's been given so that we have that knowledge and we have that witness in our spirit that yes, it's time to step out and to test, to stretch, to experiment. And I pray, oh God, that we find all kinds of experimenters in this room today. God, that will learn that you operate in ways that's outside the norm. So many people believe that they have a call to do a certain thing, but they don't find that particular thing listed. God, we're living in a crazy day and age today. It may not be listed, but I believe, Lord, there's a ministry of hugs. There's a ministry of smiles. There's a ministry of kind words. Because, God, you can infiltrate somebody's life through those things in our life. Teach us, oh God, to go into uncharted waters and to trust you for the outcome. In Jesus' precious name, amen. For all the ministers and their families.